ourselves.
Okay, let's go back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I think the last time, I'm talking about my father a lot today. I don't talk about him a lot, I promise. But the last time my father spanked me was somewhere around 1992. Do you remember that? It was like Ross Perot. Do you remember the name Ross Perot? Remember that election in 92? Even the Canadians are laughing about that one, I can see. There was a movie that came out around 95. I was 15 years old. It's not a good movie. It's a stupid movie. It's a dumb movie. It's just part of my youth. I remember that movie. And if I'm not going to mention it, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because if I did, my father would probably try to find that spoon. You know, that belt. Like, you don't talk about that movie. Stupid movie. But there's a movie from 1995. And one of the reasons I remember it is because my cousin Philip, who's the closest thing I had to a brother, always wanted a brother. I have come to terms with it. I'm thankful for everything the Lord has given me, and Jimmy's given me everything you could ever imagine. Honestly, I'm blessed. I have a wife I love and five children, and you know, praise the Lord for what we have. But always did want a brother, and Philip is my cousin. He's my age. He's about the closest thing I have to a brother, and I see him as my brother. I've just kind of a You know, we're first cousins and we grew up together and I love him and I talked to him yesterday. We talk a lot and, he doesn't have a brother. I don't have a brother. I have lots of brothers in Christ, but man, he's my brother. And he came to town in 1995, drove in from Sanford, North Carolina, which is about an hour from where I lived. And we didn't have much to do. And we just said, we're going to go to a movie. And we're in the mood. Sometimes there's just the mood. You got to be in the right mood to go to the movies. And we went to this movie and it was a comedy and we laughed, man. We just laughed. We had the best time. And, but it's a comedy. It's not, my dad hates this movie, so I won't mention it. But in the movie, there's a man that maybe afterwards I'll tell you. If you know the movie, you'll pick it up. In the movie, there's a man who's on this, date with this woman and they're skiing. And they're having a good time and they decide to have dinner together that night. Now, the character, I shouldn't call him an idiot, but he's a fictional character. You know, he's playing a part and he's not the brightest guy. He's, not that smart, doesn't really know what's going on, but they decide that they're going to have dinner that night. And she thinks he's witty. She doesn't know him yet. She hasn't gotten the full grasp of who he is, but she thinks he's witty. But he really doesn't have any idea what's going on. And so he says to her something like this: "Well, I'll pick you up for dinner tonight at 6:45. And she's like, "Well, I don't know. I might can make that work. I'm not sure if I can." He goes, "Okay, I'll pick you up at 6:45. And she's like, "I'm not sure that'll work." He's like, "Okay, 6:45. And he's going back and forth. He doesn't know there's a difference. He doesn't know that 6:45 is 6:45. But she thinks he's witty. You know, she thinks he's being smart. She thinks he's being funny. He's just an idiot in that movie. I said that to say this. I want you to look for terms in the scriptures. And when we're talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God through the Gospels is going to give it to us many, many times. Now, sometimes it will say, on the first day of the week. Look for that phrase. But oftentimes it will say, if that's 6:45, sometimes it will say 6:45. It will say it this way: and the day after the Sabbath. Doesn't matter if it says on the first day of the week, or if the scripture says on the day after the Sabbath. We're still making mention of a Sunday. I want you to see that because the Spirit of God is emphasizing that. And wherever the Spirit of God, wherever the scriptures emphasize, we need to emphasize. We need to understand. 6:45, 6:45. First day of the week, day after the Sabbath. As I read, I'm going to read just for the sake of the two points I want to try to make in this message. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Mark chapter 16, the first 9 verses, As I do that, I want you to look, and I want you to know and see how many times in just 9 verses it says, and the day after the Sabbath, or it says upon the first day of the week. And then we're going to read some other verses from some other Gospels. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, just FYI, there's one. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone for us for the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were amazed. And he said unto them, "Be not amazed. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he has said unto you." And there they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 27. Matthew 27. I can't believe it. Whenever I go to Matthew chapter 28. Whenever I go to Matthew chapter 28 and Matthew chapter 27, I'm reminded that the Lord answers prayers. Let me tell you, I have a daughter who's 17 years old. She's a senior in high school. I can't believe that. But you know what? This is not a lie, okay? You know what our prayer was, my wife and I, for our daughter when she was born? Our prayer was, seriously, that she would hunger for the Word of God. That was it. You know, it's a sincere prayer. It's a good prayer. You should pray these things for your grandchildren. Let's pray about it. Let's say it. The funny story is, and I'm reminded of every time we go to Matthew chapter 27, 28, right in there, because it's the same page as that. Many years ago when we were living in Random, this is probably 2007, 2008, my wife had asked me to take the trash out. I didn't do it, Jim. I forgot. I don't know. I was watching the ball game. I'm not sure. Maybe I was reading the Word of God. That's what I was doing. I didn't do it. Okay. So I'm up early in the morning. I can tell you where I'm at in my old house. The Word of God is there. I'm studying the Word of God. And you know what I hear? The truck. The garbage truck. You ever heard the garbage truck? You know that feeling? It's like, the garbage truck. So I just ran out the door, grabbed the garbage can, took it down the end of the driveway to the street. You know, the truck's going up the cul-de-sac. So I know we're good, right? It's got to come back down the cul-de-sac. So I don't have any need to tell my wife. It's all going to be fine. She'll never know. Yada, yada. I come back in. And the same God, Jim, that we prayed with a sincere heart, "Lord, Lord, let her hunger for the Word of God," at 1, 2 years old, had ripped out Matthew chapter 27 and 28 and was eating it. And I said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've brought Sally the Word. Look at God. He's answering our prayers." This 2-year-old girl is eating. She's hungry for the Word of God. And I haven't given up my Bible yet, Paul. So we'll read it, okay? Mark chapter 28. I'll set all that for humor, obviously. Matthew chapter 28, excuse me. Look at it. Here we go. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Luke, let's go to Luke. End of Luke, in case you're wondering. Luke 24 and verse 1 says this. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. Let's go to John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John 20. John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark to the sepulcher, and see the stone taken away from the sepulcher. We could go and we could see it other places. What I want you to see is that the Spirit of God, the writer of the Scriptures, is trying to emphasize something. And you don't have to be a student to get it. You don't have to put this passage together with that passage. It is very clear by the study of God's Word that in Matthew, that in Mark, that in Luke, that in John, we are emphasizing in the Scriptures the day after the Sabbath, or as it said most of the time, the first day of the week. Now, oftentimes we forget how we ought to study scriptures. But when we study the New Testament and it's giving us something, it's continuously giving us the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, the first day of the week. That is a hint to us to go back in the Old Testament. That is a hint for us to remember. Why is it emphasizing the day after the Sabbath? Why is it emphasizing the first day of the week? For it obviously is. It clearly is emphasizing the first day of the week or the day after the Sabbath. That's the way we read our scriptures. When we, I am not, nor have I ever really earnestly, with a whole heart, studied the book of Revelation. But, and there's more commentaries, I think, on the book of Revelation than there is on the entire scripture. All the other scriptures put, I mean, it's incredible. We interpret the book of Revelation in such manner. When we see scrolls in the book of Revelation, we need to interpret what those scrolls are. We've got to interpret the Word of God with the Word of God. So we've got to go back to the book of Jeremiah and find those scrolls. And we've got to understand what they mean there and then plug it into the book of Revelation. When it says that old serpent in the book of Revelation, that's a clue. That old serpent, we go all the way back to Genesis, right? We can interpret and we understand who that old serpent is by the previous text before us. H.G. McKay was a man that spoke in my assembly. He died in like 93, I think. I was a young man. I don't really remember him speaking much. But he would say, because it's been repeated in my hearing for the entirety of my life, you better know the other 65 before you start on that one. And that's the way we interpret the Bible, with the Bible. I don't want to go into too much detail, but it's important. This is the way we ought to look at it. This is the way we study. When we look at the blessings of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, we go through these blessings. When you look at the blessing of Jacob, he was the father of the 12. Those 12 between the 12 tribes of Israel. He's the father of the nation of Israel. When you look at his blessing, it says, the Lord says in the book of Genesis, your seed is going to be like the seed of the sands of the seashore. That's the blessing to you. And I'm reading, and it's not, these things have been taught to me by godly men. Well, I'm reading in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. We don't need to turn there. But it says at the beginning of Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus Christ stood by the seashore, teaching the nation of Israel. There it is. Like, if we know that verse back in the book of Genesis, if we know that promise of that the Lord gave to Jacob, and his seed is going to be like the sands of the seashore. Then we fast forward to Mark's Gospel in Mark chapter 4, and there is a multitude of the nation of Israel. There are many from those 12 tribes of Israel there by the seashore, listening to the Word of God, and we've got to connect those dots. We've got to know the Scripture and interpret the Scripture by the Scripture. And when the Scripture says, on the first day of the week, on the day after the Sabbath, we've got to ask ourselves, what is it emphasizing? Let's go back to Leviticus 23. And we know, many of us know, that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is pointing to us, or the Old Testament points to us, in the feast of the first fruits. In fact, in Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about Christ, our first fruit. And if you don't understand the first fruits, if you can't grasp and get your mind by the Spirit of God and study the Scriptures, if you can get that Old Testament feast, then you can plug it in to the New Testament and really enjoy the work of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we read just a few verses, you look for something. You look for it to say, upon the first day of the week. Or you look for this terminology, the day after the Sabbath. Okay? Because all of those New Testament references, all of those times that the Spirit of God is like emphasizing that to us, it's really doing that so that we can come back to Leviticus chapter 23 and understand this truth, because it's mentioned here first. Leviticus 23 and verse 9. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Leviticus 23 and verse 9. And now 10, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are come into the land which I will give you and shall reap the harvest thereof, you shall find a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. This, I love this. This should warm our hearts to be acceptable for you. On the next day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Right now, it doesn't say the first day of the week there, but it uses the same terminology that we see in the New Testament on the day after the Sabbath. And I want to challenge you in your own personal life. I love those words. The idea is that the harvest comes in and they take the very best, these first fruits, and they take the sheaf and they wave it before the Lord. And the Bible is clear. The scriptures are clear, and it's a blessing in our hearts and minds. It's a foreshadowing that because the Lord's resurrection, because He's been acceptable, you will also be acceptable. And we're the greater harvest to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, our first fruits. The resurrection is ever important. And I'm not going to spoon feed you. You want to know the truth? You want to dive into the first fruits? You want to know about the resurrection? Come here. Come here. Spend a week here. And then go into the New Testament and enjoy the truth. He was, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he died according to the scriptures, and that he was resurrected again according to the scriptures. And it is beautiful, and it matters. This is the truth of it. And it's so many signals. There's so many first day of the week, day after the Sabbath, to bring us back to this verse, to enjoy the truth of the resurrection. And that will be a reality in our life one day. To be part of that resurrection, and nothing will ever be the same when that resurrection happens. Praise the Lord for these things. Now, When I was a young man, I sat down often. I struggled as a brother said something. I don't know exactly what he said in the Lord's Supper, but I struggled to read. I struggle to read. You know, I struggle to read sometimes. It's just my wife, you can give her the book, man. Put her in the back room. She'll get it. She's got it. She knows that. She can pull that material. I want to sit down, and I've often done this many times in my life. And I'll encourage you, if you're like me, sit down with godly men and women. Ask them questions. And I remember sitting down with a man who's with the Lord now. His name is Randy. And I asked him, I'm like, why, if the resurrection is so important, why do we just gather on a weekly basis and break bread? We should also remember his resurrection from the dead. That's important too. Now I know that this is the Lord's last request, that we would remember him in his body broken, his blood shed, but the resurrection is pretty important. He took me to this verse. I want you to go to this verse. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And we spent an hour on this verse, and I'm not going to be able to spend an hour on it. I hope I can do it justice. But Randy Amos told me as a young man, he said, you need to learn this verse. You need to study this verse. And he said to me, it's rather confusing at first glance, but it's important for us to understand the breadth of the New Testament. To start here, he was starting here in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. And the verse says this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. That's not a bad word. Paul doesn't mean that is in a bad way. The traditions, the doctrines. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the doctrines or the traditions which have been taught either by word or by our epistle. Here's what Paul is saying. And I want you to get into it. Don't take my word for it. Study the scriptures. Here's what Paul is saying. I want you to hold fast to the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the loyalty that we talked about? We show forth our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ by standing on the doctrine, on the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care about the culture of Norwich. I don't care about the wisdom of men. We're going to stand on, and we're going to hold fast to the traditions, your Bible might say. The mindset there is the doctrines. And Paul says, you're going to receive these doctrines by word or by epistle. And I'm like, what does that mean? Here's the way it's been interpreted. And it's not hard if you go into the original language and if you look at it. What Randy was saying is, Paul is saying to these people, you do as we write. When I send this epistle, when this doctrine comes in, it is from the Lord. It's not from me. It is from the Spirit of God. We hold to the epistles and the doctrines of the epistles. And I also want you to hold the doctrine as you see it from us. Effectively what he's saying. As you see it and as it's written, you hold to the doctrines. Now you might say to yourself, well, we can hold to the epistles. We still have them, and praise the Lord for that. Don't ever fall into this trap of the world casting stones at the Bible. Don't fall into that trap. So often people say, has it been written? It's been translated. These are naysayers. Let me explain something to you. And this is a very simple statement from a very simple man who is not very wise and not very bright. And I don't understand everything, but I do understand this, Mike. If he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, he can give us a book. He can get us a book. We believe in the Word of God. We stand by the Word of God. The same Word of God that where so many of His prophecies have been fulfilled and come true. You want to spend your life studying the Scriptures and wondering and pondering. I stand on the Word of God and I believe in my heart that if God wants me to have it, He can get me a book. He can get me the Word of God. And we stand by these epistles and praise the Lord for it. But we also, according to Paul, according to this verse, we hold the doctrines by word or by epistle. Guess what? I can't talk to Paul. But what Randy made mention of is that we see him in the book of Acts. We see the patterns of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. So we see what they did in the book of Acts, and we read the epistles. And that's what he's saying. We get our doctrine from these two places, from looking at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and from following the epistles and the doctrine given in the New Testament. And on the first day of the week, in the book of Acts, if you go, we're running out of time. We probably won't go there. But in the first book the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, we see them stopping and breaking bread. Most of the time we talk about that. Well, they broke bread on the first day of the week. That's right. But we meet today because the New Testament church met on the first day of the week. And you might ask yourself, why did they meet on the first day of the week? Yes, we remember the Lord and His body broken and His blood shed. But we are here on Sunday. We are here the day after the Sabbath. We are here on the first day of the week because in this sense, we are remembering, yes, His body broken and His blood shed, but by meeting today, we are remembering the resurrection from the dead. They did that in the New Testament. We followed that doctrine. That's where it came from. You'll hear naysayers say, well, the Bible doesn't say to meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday because we are watching and we are following the doctrines of the New Testament church that we see in the book of Acts. They met on Sunday. They hallowed Sunday. And they did that because of the resurrection from the dead. We are here today, in a way, commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. These two points don't really match up, but let's go back to Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start the second one. These are like a couple messages that I've pulled into one. Let's go back to Mark. I want to challenge you with this one. I want to encourage you with the resurrection from the dead, and we just skimmed it. My mother's a math teacher, and she's a rather good one. And I'm going to use an illustration here that we all can understand, but I am no mathematician, although I do like math. It does make sense. Because 2 plus 2 is always 4, and 4 minus 2 is always 2, and I like the certainty of math, right? I mean, you know, there's always these exceptions with the English language. I don't want exceptions. I just want math. I do like it. But guys, if we're teaching somebody like Andrew, my son, who's 7 years old, if we're teaching him math, if he can't get the basis, or if he can't understand the foundation of addition, he can never understand multiplication. And if he can't understand subtraction, if he has mastered that, then we can't build upon it to long division. Right? I mean, that we understand that silly little point, but math is that way. I mean, you know, you get into calculus and you start working with that derivative. If you don't master that, we're not going on to the next level. Guess what? It gets pretty hard. After that, you better master the derivative. You better understand the derivative. It's all patterns. And that was always what my mom would teach me, even in college math when I would come home. Like, you got to get the pattern. You got to understand the derivative. Right? And we see the pattern continuously. Guys, in your Christian life, if you don't have, or if you haven't mastered what I'm getting ready to talk about, it's hard to build. It's hard to build as a New Testament believer, right? If you can't round first, it's hard to get to seven, right? Now, I've heard people have told me all kinds of things about baseball where, you know, there could be a pinch runner. Listen, I'm just, don't argue with me. Understand the point, right? The point is, you can't get to third base unless you've been to first base and second base. And guys, in your spiritual life, if you haven't conquered this, what we're getting ready to talk about, if you haven't mastered this, and I'm not sure that I've got it, to be honest. Maybe a head knowledge of it, but I'm not sure that my life in times of crisis points that I've mastered this. But it's hard to move on to the second base, the third base, if you haven't rounded first. And I want to challenge you with this. And I want us to see the mindset of the disciples. I want to read verse 7. Verse 7 again of our passage. And then we're going to go backwards before we go forwards. Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. This is the angel speaking to these women. Look what the angel says. But go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you to Galilee. And there you shall see him as he has said unto you. Now we'll come back to that verse. And I want you to look at the last little piece there. As he said unto you. Now, remember Mark chapter 4. And we don't have time to go into it. But you remember the story. The very famous story, in fact, about the Lord Jesus Christ telling his disciples to get into a boat. They got into a boat and they crossed to the other side. And there's all kinds of aspects to this story. But one of the major themes of this story that is given to us at the end of Mark chapter 4 is the word of the Lord. Now they got to the other side. Right? I mean, they got through that storm. The boat did not break. The water subsided. But the two aspects that of the disciples and what this story is teaching us is to fall back and rely not on yourselves, not on your portfolio, not on interest rates, but on the word of the Lord. That's the truth, right? I mean, they got to the other side and it's as if they didn't hear what he said. You know what he said before they got into the boat? He said something like this, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but you can go back and read it in Mark chapter 4. He said, get into the boat, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, get into the boat, we won't make it. He didn't say, go get into the boat and have faith. What did he say, Mike? He said, get into the boat, we're going to the other side. And in the midst of the storm, and listen, I don't know that I'm different here. In the midst of the storm, there was nary one disciple that said, guys, remember what Jesus Christ said? He said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. And I know it sure does look like the wind and waves are about to break this boat. And I sure am scared, but I do remember what he said. Nary a one, at least from what we have. In fact, they went 180 degrees, did they not? You know what they said? Don't ever say this. Be careful not to be like these disciples in what they said. You know what they said? They said something like this. Lord, do you care? Lord, do you care? Do you care if we perish? I know Jesus Christ cares. I don't know if you care if he perished. But I know Jesus Christ cares for you. And he showed you that. He showed you his love and his devotion. In no greater time frame than in those hours of darkness, that frame of those hours of darkness on the cross of Calvary. I know Jesus Christ loves you. The question in my mind is not, does the Savior love you? Does he care for you? But the question this morning is, do you love him? Do you care for him? I have to ask myself that sometimes. But in the midst of the storm, nobody stood back. And guys, these are some pretty impressive guys here, right? These are the 12 disciples. Nobody stood back and said, remember what he said. I know it's a storm. I know it's raging. But let's remember the words of Jesus Christ. Nobody did that. Seemingly, no one did that. And then we see the word of the Lord again exalted in the midst of this story, right? I mean, they wake him up. The bottom of the boat. Lord, do you care? Lord, do you care? He goes up and he speaks to the wind and the waves and he says something like this. Peace be still. And this is what we miss. I miss it often. Busy, family, job, even in the midst of the Lord's work, I miss it. Before they marveled at the storm. But the beauty of that passage is that after he spoke, they marveled at his words. We need to marvel at his words. What, right? I mean, they said something like this. Who is this man who speaks and the wind and the waves obey him? Many things to marvel at. Marvel at his word. Marvel at his word. Praise the Lord for that. Now, I have a question for you, and it's sincere. And of course, like, as I challenge you, I challenge me. That's not a lie. It's not a lie. You're either in the midst of a storm, you just come out of one, and guess what? if things in life are good, the stock market's up, you know, the portfolio's up, all the kids are obedient, you know, there's a pretty woman on your arm, there's food in the refrigerator, the mortgage is paid. If things are good in your life, beware of tomorrow.
Because the storm, she is coming. Do not be surprised of the storms of life. They will come for you. That is not the question. The question is, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the panic, in the midst of the struggle that is either just left, right here, or coming tomorrow, do you remember the word of the Lord? Do you remember His promises?
I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't be this honest, but I told you before, I'm not sure if I've mastered it, because there are times where situations happen. There's times when struggles come. There's times when I get that phone call. There's times in the Lord's work. I remember being 35 and in the midst of people are coming to me for advice. Who would go to a 35-year-old for advice? What am I supposed to do? What are you looking for me? We need to remind them of the Word of God. I know that. In the midst of my storms, oftentimes, my mind has been on a million and one things, but not the word of the Lord, not the promises of God. There they are in that boat in Mark chapter 4, going across the Sea of Galilee, and nary a one of them said, Jesus Christ said, we're going to the other side. And you might think the boat will break, and you might think the ship's going down, but I have remembered the word of the Lord, and I'm going to rest in the midst of the storm on what Jesus Christ has said. And then I come to my own life. And there are times, sadly and disgracefully, I confess, that it's been 7 hours in the midst of the storm, and I have yet to think about the promises of God. I have yet to change my perspective. I am so, maybe I shouldn't say it, selfish and self-absorbed that I'm thinking about 101 different things and the Word of God has not crossed my mind. There have been 3 times in my marriage, and I can recall them, every one. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the woe, my sweet and godly wife has whispered in my ear, not publicly, not to shame me, but just simply said, Stephen, have you prayed about this? Stephen, have you got your mind off yourself and thought about the Scriptures? And there's been 3 times where I turned to her a little bit emotional and said, I can't believe I have not. Sad. I mean, it's like, I remember my youth at Sharon Hills Bible Chapel. I remember growing up and I would just think about the nation of Israel, this foolish, stiff-necked, hard-headed people. Just ask the Lord where to go. Just pray to the Lord. And He'll lead you and He'll guide you. And the years pass and the decades go. And I'm 45 years old and there's still times where it has yet to cross my mind. Remember what Jesus Christ said. And if you are consumed, I don't care about the diagnosis. I don't care about the circumstances, situation. I know that in the storms and the struggles of my life, though they have not been easy, that the only thing that can recalibrate, the only thing that can turn my mindset, that can turn my heart, that can turn and recalibrate is the Word of the Lord. Get me back to the promises of God. Change my perspective. Get my mindset off of me. And let me hear the Word of the Lord. There have been times where I could not sleep, truthfully, but I read the Scriptures. And the Spirit of God reminded me of what the Lord said. If you're in the midst of that storm today, I don't know. I don't know. You need to remember today what God's promise and what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. There is nothing more comforting in the life of a believer than to simply read the Word of God. And the words written in red. They are for you. And if you don't have that foundation, if that's not me, and that is the foundation of the Christian life, I want us to go, we're running out of time, I want us to go and read, let's go back to Mark chapter 14. I wanted to read 3 passages, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. I'm not going to read 3 passages because we don't have time. But our brother back there, the best looking tie in the house, our brother back there in the Lord's Supper, he read one of these passages for me in Luke chapter 24. He
He read it. And I'm sitting there on the word soccer going, I'm going to read that later. I'm not. It's already been given to us today. But he's reading that. I'm like, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll read Mark's equivalent passage here in Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Do you see what he's saying here? This is a verse that we don't even know. We don't even read this verse. You know, see what he's saying? This is before the Garden of Gethsemane. This is before his crucifixion, right? He simply says to them, after I am resurrected, I'm going to go before you to Galilee. Do you see the word of the Lord? Do you see what he's telling his disciples? After the resurrection of the dead, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. That's how we would say it. After the sheep are going to scatter, the shepherd's going to be smite. That's what he's saying. I'm going to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to die. He told him that three times. Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 10. He told him here, right before the Garden of Gethsemane. The shepherd's going to be struck. The sheep are going to scatter. I'm going to be resurrected again. Meet me in Galilee. That's the way we would say it. That's exactly what he says. That's exactly what he teaches. You could go back to Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel. You can read that. We always forget that he instructed his disciples to go to Galilee. Don't stay in Jerusalem. Don't get in a room if you're scared. Meet me in Galilee. That's what he said. And then you fast forward. You come back to Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 16. Go back. And here are not the disciples. Not Luke 16, Mark 16, sorry. Here are the disciples. No, not the disciples, but Mary Magdalene. She's coming to the sepulcher. She's coming to the tomb. And she sees this angel, and the angel has a message. You know what the message is? Yes, he's not here, right? We always think of it in that term. He's not here. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He's not here. You know what the angel says? The angel, word angel, literally messenger. You know what the message is? He's not here. You know what the second part of that message is that we don't teach, that we don't preach, that we don't even know? Look what he says. I'll just read verse 6 and 7. And he said unto them, be not amazed, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. But go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee. There you shall see him. I love these words. Best couple words in the chapter. As he said unto you. Now we read in the King James Version. Here's what it is. Why don't you go back and tell those sorry disciples? Why don't you go back and tell those guys who were scared to death? Have no idea whether they should go up, down, and around. Have no clue what's going on. Oh, by the way, he told them three times. Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 10. Go look at it. He told them three times that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to die, and that he was going to be resurrected on the third day. They didn't listen then. You know what the messenger says? Mary Magdalene, go tell the disciples and Peter, whole other storyline, whole other message there. Go tell them to meet me in Galilee. And then the angel says this, remember, that's what he told you. He said to do that. You didn't listen. He told you to go back to Galilee. He'll meet you there after the resurrection. You know why they didn't get it? Because Peter withstood him to the face. You know why they didn't get it? Because they were so self-absorbed. They were thinking about themselves. Why do we not get it? Why are we not there? Why is this not my foundation? Because I'm so self-absorbed. It's not hard. What did the angel say to him? Remember what Jesus Christ told you. Don't be scared in the room in Jerusalem. Don't fear the Jews. Remember the word of God. Remember what he said. In the midst of the storm, come back to the promises of God. What did he say to you in Mark chapter 14? The shepherd's going to be smite. The sheep are going to be scattered. I'm going to be resurrected and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. You know what the angel says? Remember what he told you? Why don't you just focus on the words of the Lord? Remember what he said? As he told you to meet you in Galilee. Go tell him to go to Galilee. And so I say this to you in closing. We're 2 or 3 minutes over. Why don't you get your mind off yourself? It's pretty easy to preach it, right?
had a young girl. She's like 37 years old. She's my client. She got a diagnosis of cancer Friday. Pretty easy for me to preach it. One day the diagnosis will come for me. How will I respond? Will I mire in self-pity? Or will I remember the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. We'll end here. When it all goes away, when all the property, when all the money, when all the relationship, when it all goes away, what we will have are the promises that have proceeded from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And when the storms come, and when the waves are beating the boat of your life, you get your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ and His promises, and you get there quickly. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for all that we have in our Savior. It is all we need. Father, thank You for the words of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray You give me strength that in a coming day, when the phone rings and the storms and the waves are beating the boat, both of my life and of theirs, that You would recalibrate our mind and get us back to the Scriptures, back to the promises of God, that we might be encouraged, or that You might send a messenger, as You did in Mark chapter 16, a brother and sister in Christ, someone who cares, to just simply say, why don't you remember what He said? Lord, bless the rest of our day and the rest of our week. We pray in His name. Amen.